Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Hope you're staying safe. Thank you for listening to The Roundhouse. We're going to talk to some Wichita State coaches about what their life is like during the pandemic. Today, we have women's basketball coach Keitha Adams. She's going to give us a recruiting update on three signees for Shocker women's basketball. She's going to tell us some Don Haskins stories. We also have men's tennis coach Danny Bryan, who will tell us a little bit about his activities, what he's watching, and how his Shocker tennis team is staying connected. We ask you to rate and review us. Thanks for listening, and here we go. We have Keitha Adams, women's basketball coach, and we're going to get to a lot of topics. We'll start. Shockers added three new players here in the spring signing period, so we'll just turn the floor over to Keitha, and she can take us through the three newcomers and give us a little information on each of them.
Yeah, we're really fired up about the three players we've added. I'll start off with Asia Strong, athletic forward that played at Trinity Valley Community College, originally a young lady from Indiana. Really one of the top junior college players in the country that we just worked really hard all year recruiting. Really athletic, can score, can shoot the ball, rebounds it well. We really feel like she's going to bring an added need to our roster and to our team for next year. So, she's very capable of helping you on both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively, and then also as a great rebounder, which we needed that. So we're ecstatic about that sign. We had to work really hard on that and beat out some really good schools, and Asia's a really good get. Rachel Johnson is a young lady from Chipola, played at Chipola Community College. Very competitive young lady, very athletic, can shoot the ball, can score it, will be able to help us defensively. And I think also a young lady that brings a lot of the intangibles that you need to your team inside the locker room and on the court. Comes from a great family and winning mentality. Played in a good program and has been well coached. And so, Asia and Rachel both come from winning programs and know the understanding of what it takes to win. So really excited about that addition. Carla actually end up, the young lady from Mozambique, end up being someone we found out just recently. Very athletic player, very a good player that can score inside, can run the floor, can rebound, and can really add, again, some added offense to our team, which, that's something that we've, we just keep working on trying to get ourselves in a better position where we can score more points. And I think every year we're getting better on that, but we're still chipping away to get where we really need to be. And so we feel really confident that these three additions are kids that are going to help make us better and fit our system. And we'll be able to play up tempo. And we also think that they're going to help us in scoring and defensive and rebounding. So we're really excited about all three.
Ordinarily at this time, I guess you would be perhaps going through spring drills, individual drills, getting ready for the summer. In lieu of all that, how are you staying connected with the current team and trying to keep them in a good frame of mind?
Well, I think that such a very unique situation. What we have done is, I think we've approached this situation, I think, in a way that is maybe a good timing for our program in some aspects, that we've really talked to our team about them being a player-led team. And Carla and Fifi are two of our young ladies that's, you know, played the most in our program, and them stepping in and taking more leadership roles within our program. We need for them to do that. And so, you know, we had all met and talked on Zoom, you know, after a little bit of the dust had settled, and we were looking at setting a time where we would do virtual workouts with one another. And then, you know, they kind of had to figure out the legislation, the ruling, and how we were going to go about all this. And so, you know, and I think there was a lot of talk with football, because football was doing so many different things. And so there was a couple of days that then Corey, you know, compliance brought back more structure to what we could and couldn't do. And so we went from thinking that we were actually going to be able to get on like you and I are with one another and do push-ups, sit-ups, and do some things and us be in it with our players. But that rule formed that we could not do that. And so what we did was actually the day that we were going to start that, I started the meeting with explaining to them that we were not allowed to do that, that ruling had been set in place since we had first talked about it. And then I just talked to them about, you know, it's really time for you guys to be player led anyway. So Hannah, our weight and strength coach, has sent them workouts just like that they would do, like if they were in the summer and they were at home. And then basically, you know, we told the girls, it's up to you guys to figure out how you're going to do this. And we're out of it. And it's time for us to be a player-led team, and you guys lead the way. So, you know, you can talk to Fifi and Carla to visit with them about how that's going, because it's in their hands, and how we're doing with that, you'll have to find that out from them. I'm out of it, and that's okay. You know, I think that's where, you know, your teams, there's those times where, you know, as coaches, we've got to lead. And then there's times where our players have to take the initiative and step up as well. And so, you know, we've given them the instructions and the tools to move forward, but that's in their hands. And, you know, but I think that, you know, we've had Zoom meetings like this with one another, and that's been good. We text often, you know, constantly checking on how they're doing. We've got a system in place now that with our academics, you know, when we're having study hall, and Andrew, our academic advisor, he's communicating with them regular, and then he's communicating with me, and then I'm communicating with them. So, you know, we're having a lot of communication about our academics right now, because it's such a unique situation. But you know, for the first 2 weeks I enjoyed being at home, because in my entire coaching career, I mean, I started teaching and coaching when I was 22, and I've worked, you know, I've worked. And so the first 2 weeks, me being at home, I was like, I will admit that was nice, because that's not something I've really done my whole life. Like, just had 2 weeks, you know, to be at home. And then that Monday of the third week, I was like, then the reality set in, and I wasn't liking it, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't liking not seeing our kids. We're spread out. We're not together. We're not in the gym. There's things we need to be working on, and we're not able to. So, you know, I think that third week, the reality of it, you know, set in, and I miss them, and I miss not being able to do what, you know, we normally are doing this time of year. And now on a positive flip side, recruiting's been really good, in the fact that kids are really bored right now, Paul. They're bored. They got all this time. So, you know, you're calling recruits, and we're having some really good conversations, because there's not a lot of other things going on in their life, and we can really talk. So I think that, you know, a positive has been really having some great conversation with some really, and young kids have called me. We've had a good week. We've got a commitment from an early kid that is a Kansas kid. So I'm excited about that. I can't go into any of it more than that, but you know, and we've got a lot of young Kansas kids that have been calling us. And so, yeah, I think we've got some things going really positive right now, even though we're in a really unique situation.
Have you watched any TV series, read any books that you could recommend for those of us who are looking for things to do during this time?
Well, I tell you what, I have watched Netflix. I have watched All American. Kids are loving that show. I've watched Good Girls. It's funny. Let's see, what else have I? Ozark, that's kind of a, that's a little bit of a wild one. Probably maybe a show people don't want to watch right now because they've got so much money and they're laundering money. And right now everybody's struggling with money. So maybe that isn't a show you want to watch, but I haven't read anything. You know, I'm taking this time to watch video on kids that we have film on. And so I think for me, you know, book reading's not something I've been doing. I've been doing more video watching. Yeah.
I wanted you to tell one good Don Haskins story. You spent a lot of time with the famous coach down at UTEP. So hit us with your best Don Haskins story.
Oh man, that's like asking me to pick my favorite flavor of ice cream. There's so many good ones. Like, how do you pick the favorite one? I know one of my favorite Don Hat. I mean, can I do two?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Probably one of my most, our 2018, we had a team that was ranked top 25 and we were really good. Our guards were really good and we were on national TV and coach was having some health problems. So he wasn't able to come to the game, but he watched it on ESPN and we played, I mean, unbelievable. We put on a clinic, a fast break clinic that was just, it was fun. And that night he called me and I was in my car and he was like, I knew you guys were good, but hot damn, I didn't know you were that good. And when coach said that to me, like just to get that compliment from him, I mean, I just was soaring like an eagle just to hear that from him. So that was one of my happy moments that he made me feel like a million bucks. And then I'll just tell you a funny story about coach is that he hung out at this famous bar, Rosie's Cantina, which is in Marty Robbins's famous song, El Paso. And my parents would go in there and hang out with coach. And, you know, he'd sit around, and he'd tell stories and everything. And he kept a big old fifth of whiskey there. And when he'd get ready to go, he'd leave. He'd pull out his ink marker. He'd put a line right there where it was at. And then they'd just put it right underneath the bar, and it'd be there for him when he'd come back. And nobody would ever drink any of his whiskey because he used a good old marker. And so, you know, I don't know that that's an athletic story, but yes, it's a story how to keep people honest and not drink your booze, I guess. So he was just a fact. I mean, I could talk about him for days, but he never told the same story twice. And he was always just brutally honest, blunt, you know, and honest. But I think the thing that I loved about Coach was, as a mentor, whenever he would talk to me about the game, and he never did tell me what to do. You know, he never told me what to do. But he always talked about things to where when he left, I was always thinking. So I guess he always had a way about going about things to where he would get you to be then thinking after he'd leave. And you know, it would make you think. He'd make you think. And I think that, you know, sometimes if you're being a parent or you're a mentor or a friend, someone, you know, where you're trying to help someone or maybe subtly give a little advice, but you're not telling them what to do, but yet somehow you get a knack for getting them to think. And that's what coach did a lot, you know, and that he made me a better coach. I mean, and then we talk X's and O's, but those would be right now. That'd be, I guess, what I'd tell you today.
Those are good ones. That must have been very entertaining to be around him.
Don Haskins was awesome.
Yeah. He went to Oklahoma State. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he played at Oklahoma State. Yeah. Have you ever read the book, Glory Road?
I have.
You know, I loved, like, that's the only book I've ever read where the person who's telling the story, I know. So, like, when I read the book, I could hear Coach's voice in my head when I was reading it. And I couldn't put it down. I mean, I think they left one thing out of the book that should have been in the movie. There was one thing that I thought was kind of funny, was where when they were at SMU and they had, you know, he had gotten that death threat in his hotel room, they'd called. And they brought the FBI in. You know, he wasn't even sure if they should play the game or not, because, you know, they made a threat that they were going to shoot one of them. And so in the book, it talked about how he called a timeout. And when they were in a timeout, one of the kids was running around in a circle around the timeout. And he asked him, he said, "What in the heck are you doing?" He said, "Well, Coach, if somebody's going to shoot, I want to be moving." And I was surprised they left that part out of the movie, because it's sad, but yet it was kind of funny. The kid was being humorous about the situation. But that's one of my things. People ask me about my time at UTEP, and I always say, you know, one of the neatest things about it was becoming friends with Coach.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique thing.
Don Haskins coached 38 seasons at UTEP. I'm looking here. One, of course, most famous for winning the 1966 NCAA championship when the school was known as Texas Western. Certainly a Hall of Fame career. That would have been fun to have been around him.
It was awesome.
We'll get back to normal at some point, or something close to normal. What's the first thing you're looking forward to doing when we can get out of our houses and do things again?
The first thing that I'm looking for, just being with our players and being able to be in the gym and practice and just being together. I mean, I think one of the things that probably concerns me, or that I don't like what I'm kind of hearing, is, you know, I know one of the things that I'm going to treasure, I'm a hugger. You know, I hug people, you know, and the thought that, you know, for the next 2 years, we're not supposed to, you know, hug or keep our distance and all, like, that really saddens me, because that's not who I am. You know, that's just not who I am. I, you know, a firm handshake, there's something to be said for looking people in the eye and a good handshake and hugging people, you know, hugging kids. I think, you know, when somebody's having a bad day, a hug can make a person feel a whole lot better. So that's probably one of the things I hate the most about this thing. I mean, obviously, people have been sick and lost loved ones. That's the worst part about it. But I think, you know, that one of the other things is just, you know, the thought of not being able to put your arm around someone or hug somebody. I just think that can't be. That's not me. So, but I look forward to being back with our players. And I think, man, sports is going to be – it's going to feel – all these things are going to feel so great, you know, when we get back to it, just because it's kind of like, really, things have been taken away from us in some ways.
We have Danny Bryan, men's tennis coach at Wichita State. He is in his fourth season with the Shockers. Dan and his family are in Mountain Home, Arkansas. So Danny, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about what is life like now for you and your family?
It's different. It's an emotional roller coaster for sure. You know, obviously it was unexpected, you know, the season coming to the end. Then, you know, we went right into, you know, trying to figure out, how to move forward and what was the next step. And with an international team, majority of the guys international, it was a bit tricky and trying to look at each situation with each player in their unique spot, you know, and decide what they were going to do. So we had a lot of guys who chose to go home, and that seems like that was a pretty good decision. Most of them well, all of them got home safely, and a few of them had to go into like a 14-day quarantine. They did that, and now I think that was pretty tough on them mentally. But you know, we also had four players, international players, decide to stay, and they're also doing well. So it's been a crazy month for sure.
Wichita State was 12-5. You had a doubles team that was ranked pretty close to the top 50 in the country. So things were going well. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you get to that moment, that hour when you have to sit down and explain that we're done and things are going to change dramatically. How did you handle that with your group?
It happened so quick. I think it was Wednesday. Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning, the Ivy League came out that they were, you know, canceling the rest of their season for all sports. And, you know, we were still, you know, supposed to, you know, play that upcoming Saturday. But at practice that day, it was a bit strange, you know, just starting to get the idea that, hey, you know, this could be our last practice. And then obviously, I think it was that night when the NBA got canceled. You know, it kind of started to really, you know, sink in that, you know, this is going to happen. You know, it's for real, and we're going to have to deal with this. And then obviously that afternoon, the following afternoon, it all got canceled for us. You know, we met as a team. We didn't really go into, you know, looking into, you know, everything like with the seniors and those kind of things. It was more a meeting of the next step. We didn't really reflect much on the season, and we still haven't too much now. And one of the reasons is because, you know, we're fortunate enough to have the seniors coming back. So, yeah, we were just really trying to figure out, you know, what each player was going to do and what was the, you know, what was the best thing for them. And, you know, their safety was the most important thing for us.
Tell us a little bit about how you're passing the time. Do you have some good book recommendations, some TV recommendations? What are you doing with the leisure time?
I'm staying pretty busy. I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. So I've been doing a lot of homeschooling. For a while, we were doing strictly, you know, just Khan Academy. And then my 8-year-old now has, like, you know, Zoom meetings for his third grade class, and he's got assignments each day. And then with my daughter, who's 3, we're doing the Khan Academy app. And when we're not doing that, she's keeping me busy, just running around the house and trying to work out a little bit. It's a little bit different speed. Speed of life now, and not on the tennis court burning calories anymore. So having to work out a little bit more, and I've done a little fishing, and my wife and I, when we get a chance, we watched a good amount of Netflix like everyone else.
Ozark, Tiger King. I guess Ozark is kind of topical geographically for you. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it. I watched like a couple episodes a few years ago. We've watched MacMillions, and that was on HBO, I think. That's like about the Monopoly scam deal, which that was pretty interesting. And we watched The Pharmacist, which is on Netflix, which is like a docuseries. I'm a big fan of the docuseries type things. And then we've gotten into a little late, but we got into Grey's Anatomy. And I think we're now on season 4, and I feel like we watch it nonstop, and we're only on season 4, but there's like over 20 episodes per season. So that's kept us, I think there's 15 seasons, which is, I'm not sure we're going to get to the end, but we're working our way one episode at a time.
McMillions, excellent recommendation. I think we started that, I think, before this all hit, and then finished it up. That is really, really interesting. That was well done.
It's an interesting one. Yeah, for sure.
Keeping connected with your athletes and coaches, how are you going about that?
Yeah, we've had a couple of Zoom meetings. we're more talking about leadership principles and sharing different videos. We saw what the golf team was doing, where a player would pick a video that they wanted to discuss, and so we've done that a couple times. Obviously with my staff, we've met and pretty frequently on Zoom with recruiting and those kind of things, just kind of planning as best we can for the future and our schedule for next year and those types of things. So and certain guys, we've done some individual like Zoom meetings with them and kind of just just checking in, making sure everyone's okay, staying healthy, and if they have any questions about anything, those kind of things. But for the most part, we're just waiting it out and looking forward to getting back at it. I think everyone's going to be ready to go once we get the go ahead.
Yeah, what do you miss the most?
Being on court, the competition for sure. Being with the guys, battling, and that is definitely the thing. It's definitely the longest I've been in a long, long time not being on a tennis court with players and either competing myself or working with guys, coaching them up. So it's been tough, but I think just trying to make the most of it. Trying to spend tons of time with my kids, those kind of things, and just be grateful for the things we do have right now.
Do you have what you might plan to, can't wait to get back to? Is there a restaurant? Is there a practice routine? Is there something that you say, oh boy, that's the first thing I want to do when things get back to whatever normal looks like?
I think I'm looking forward to a routine the most. I'm trying my best to have kind of establish a new routine, and it has helped with just my working with my kids with school and those kind of things. But just a routine in general. I like to work. I like to help the guys get better. Always having a goal and those kind of things. And for a while that was it wasn't taken away from that part of it was taken away, but I just kind of had to get settled in on new goals and those kind of things. And that's what I look forward to the most, is just getting back to that routine. I really like that routine that I had.
Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. We will be back next week. Softball coach Christy Redbenner and track and field coach Steve Rainbolt will join us. Thank you very much.